This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It is so wonderful to be back with you today. The Sue Freeze Show. People say, what is your show about? Is it about bugs? And I say, no, it's not about bugs. It exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? Think about that. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? I've asked myself that so many times. When do you feel connected to another person? What is that connection? What is that all about? Who are you? It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. Very loud, very clear. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I'm constantly growing, and I want us to take a look on how we can grow and be better people. And, you know, sometimes people say, you know, oh, I'm a victim, or oh, this has happened to me, or, you know, gosh, I could never do that. Have you ever heard someone say that? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We get in our own way. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Melody Rossi, and she's a friend of mine that I just really am growing to love her more every single time we are together. And Melody Rossi has gone from the opera stage to the inner city. She's the founder of Cloud and Fire Ministries, an organization that helps youth from gang communities stay in school, learn a trade, become productive citizens, and ultimately come to Christ. Although she has never had children of her own, her work with these at-risk gang and incarcerated youth has earned her the title, great title, the Mother of the Hood. Love that, Melody. Cloud and Fire.
Good to be with you again. How are you?
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, good. It's great to be with you today.
Yes, Mother of the Hood. I love that.
Thank you. Well, that title I had to earn that one, I guess.
But what
a blessing to see children every day, children and teens and young adults who really could be in such dire straits out on the streets. Some of our students have even slept on the streets or slept in cars. They're coming from broken families and all kinds of horrendous experiences, and to see God use our simple tasks, our connections with them, to bring them into his kingdom and to help put their lives back in right order. It's a real blessing and a privilege.
You know, when I've talked to gang members, it's there's this community or this family that maybe they didn't have at their own home. And so they find this family unit in a gang, even though it's negative, even though it's not a positive experience, it's something that they so long for.
You're absolutely right about that, and I think all of us want that. I remember when I was a kid, I had so many things happening at home that were hard and hurtful, and even if we come from a good family, we long for someone outside of our family to connect with, too. You know, we get to a place where we think our parents don't know anything, but if we come from families where there's any trouble, it's really difficult, you know, and we're walking around sort of with a hole in us all the time. And sometimes just somebody seeing that and connecting with us will it's like flipping a switch on, and we think, you know, I am somebody. And if that person that looks into our lives or speaks into our lives or puts their arm around us, if they're a healthy person, that can make so much positive fruit in our life. But if it's a person who's dysfunctional, who's evil, who's into drugs or crime, that's going to really influence us too, because, you know, there's that age of vulnerability where we're going to follow people that care about us and you know, make community with us. So I think you're right on track there.
Right. And trust is a big issue, and unforgiveness, I think, are two huge issues with people that have experienced not having a trust factor or a safe place.
Yeah.
They tend to not trust. So to put their heart out there or their, you know, their life out there, they need to make sure, or they need to have some type of security to say, you know what, this is someplace I want to go, someplace I want to be, someplace where I feel safe, I feel loved, I feel protected in some way. And you give that to them.
Yeah, it's true. And what we're finding, especially with teenage boys, I think for them, being tough and being angry and even being violent or aggressive, that's actually easier than being vulnerable and being, you know, admitting that you have a brokenness to you. And yet, if somebody makes a safe place, those young men are drawn to it. Young women too, but I think especially in gang communities, we're much more worried about the young men. They're drawn to it, and they let their guard down, and they can become soft and gentle and vulnerable. And I think that's a healthy thing, you know. And then we kind of put them back together and send them out to be a positive influence in their community.
So, you have a unique organization because you help this specific group of young people. Tell us what Cloud and Fire is and who it is that you help. We already talked about being at risk and gang people. Is there a story that you could tell us about just one individual that somehow ran across or came across Cloud and Fire, and what has happened in that person's life? I've met a couple of these people, these men and women.
There are so many stories. How can I choose one?
But you're going to have to choose one.
Let me tell you about a young man named Emmanuel.
Okay.
I just spoke to him last night. He's currently in Wyoming. And he came to us a year and a half ago. He came into our Youth Build program. And he has a mother who's mentally ill. He has a father that he doesn't know, isn't around, and he has lived with all kinds of different family members, and some of them aren't even related to him. You know, it's his cousin's stepsister, or, you know, that kind of thing. And he lives in this group with, you know, maybe 12 or 15 adults that are either remotely related to him or somehow friends of the family. And his family has some members of it that sell drugs. And he came into our program. He wanted to finish high school with us, and he wanted to learn a trade. And so we were teaching him construction. And at one point, he sat in his office, in my office, with tears running down his cheeks, because his family wanted him to drop out of our school and go and sell drugs.
Mm.
And that's the kind of world that these young people come from. And how does he look at another option? And actually, he stood up to the family and he said, okay, if you want me to quit school, I'll do that. I'll do that. But I don't want to sell drugs. I'll do anything but that. So he went through a couple of jobs. And finally, he found a job opportunity working at a restaurant in Wyoming. And he took a bus out there and got all the way to Wyoming and started working in this restaurant. And, you know, he calls me about every week and says, I'm working with Christian people. I'm living in a town where there's so many Christians. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. And God is still at work in his life. Even though he didn't graduate high school yet, he's hoping that he'll be able to get his GED at some point. But he came to us from this broken family, and from being in a gang, and God got a hold of him just because he came. He said he didn't even believe in God when he came, and now he's a follower of Jesus, and he's gone out. You know, who knows who he'll be witnessing to out in Wyoming.
That's right. We never know where God's going to lead us.
Yeah.
That is so true. Well, Cloud and Fire provides all kinds of programs for the youth, like tutoring, mentoring, camping, and performing arts. I actually visited the Youth Build program.
That's right.
How does that program build the lives of youth who have had troubled backgrounds? What is that program about?
That is such an awesome program, and that's the one Emmanuel went to. And it's a program for kids who are either just failing in school, they're on the verge of dropping out, or they've already dropped out. Maybe some of them have been locked up. They've had life circumstances of all kinds that derail them. And we take them from ages 17 to 24. So they've already had a history of failure, and maybe they haven't been in school for 4, 5, 6 years. And they might have 0 credits or just a few credits, and they think there's no chance of them ever finishing school or getting a GED. And we provide this alternative setting for them that's really safe. They come into a situation where there's about 25 students. We divide them in teams, and only one group is in the classroom at a time. They may be from different gangs, but they all just put their gangs aside and come in. We start every single morning with devotions, and then one team stays in the classroom while the other one goes out to Hope Gardens, which is owned by the Union Rescue Mission. And Sue, you've seen that.
It's beautiful.
It's
really absolutely
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It's a remote facility, and it houses homeless women with children. And our young people are learning how to do construction at that facility, and they're providing housing for these women who've lived on Skid Row with their kids. So these young people who may be the very ones who are vandalizing the community, tagging it up, selling drugs, doing robberies, we bring them in. We start to introduce them to the gospel slowly but surely. We teach them a trade. We give them hope. And pretty soon they are the ones who are building up the community and providing housing for homeless women. And it's just a turnaround from them being the kind of losers in the community. You know, some people might say that about them. They suddenly become empowered to be leaders and people who are doing great things in the community, heroes, if you will. And it turns them around. And in the meantime, they're learning about the Lord, and their hearts are being healed. It's one of the most exciting programs we've ever had at Cloud and Fire.
Yes, it is, and I've seen the fruit of this program. It's an amazing program. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you'd like to call in and talk to Melody Rossi or me, Sue Fries, you can call 888-995-5552. Melody, I bring books in and whatnot, and I'm reading things, and I think, okay, what could I share today that would be a message for anybody listening? Because I want to, the whole reason for this show is it is God's show. It's not Sue Freeze's show. It's God's show, and I don't take that lightly, and I really, really, really want to be an open vessel and to be able to give hope where somebody is feeling hopeless or feeling like their life does not matter. And there's a book that I have here. It's Daily Devotions, New Life Every Day by Stephen Arterburn. And it's funny. It's not funny. It's not a coincidence either, because I don't believe in those. It's when God decides to stay anonymous. But I brought up this page, page 68, and it says, releasing past failures was what I stopped on. And you were talking about failures with these kids, that they failed in something or maybe a lot of things. And what this program is doing, in my eyes and the way I view it, is that people need to feel that their life matters, that they have a purpose, which we all do because God created us for a purpose.
That's right.
And we have to have significance. There has to be a reason for getting up in the morning. And this is for every person listening. It's not just for these kids. It's for everyone. And as a parent, we want to instill in our children that there is a purpose for their lives. You know, as a friend, as a sister, as a brother, we want to instill and encourage our brother, our sister, that their life matters and that they are designed for a specific purpose. And if we can help them find that purpose and direct them down a path, then how wonderful is that for all of us?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
You're so right. And we all need that from somebody, and we can all give it to somebody.
And I think we're called to do that.
Yeah,
you know, people say, you know, well, I'm not a pastor or I'm not a minister. No, you are a minister. We are all ministering one to another. I'm going to read this page right here. It says, releasing past failures, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. That's Psalm 37, 5, 6. I'm going to go on to read this. It says, some people go through life excusing their shortcomings because of some disadvantage, which that would be these kids, they've had stacked against them. Others have grown up in great families and circumstances of great advantage and privilege. They had less in their lives to overcome and less occasion to stumble. If you're one who hasn't had these benefits and you've had a disadvantage or two to overcome, you may feel angry, resentful, and even ashamed as a result. If so, I have two important things to say to you. First, your feelings are certainly understandable. Second, despite the fact that your resentful feelings may be justified, you simply must let go of them. Those feelings will slowly eat you alive. Letting go is so simple and at the same time so hard to do. Daily we face the same challenge, a challenge to surrender. Big word, surrender your will, your power, your bitter, angry feelings of resentment to God. Empty yourself so His Holy Spirit can come and fill the void. Release any resentment you may be harboring about the hurt inflicted on you by others or by the failures of others to help you in the past. See if God won't respond to your surrender. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't it? And it's so amazing. You know, it's not. I mean, God never stops surprising me. That's why He's God.
It goes right with the heart of what we're trying to do at Cloud and Fire. And, you know, I was thinking as you were reading that about how many young people we encounter who have been so let down by somebody or abused by somebody, you know, and you said even when our anger and our disappointment is deserved, even when we have a right to it, when a parent has abused us or abandoned us, you know, those are things that we can still let go to God, and He heals us then. But when we let that bitterness stand in the way, doesn't it eat at us and destroy everything beautiful in our lives?
Yes, I had it put, I don't know, it's like you are in prison. The person that you're angry with might not even know that you're angry with them,
right.
But you're held with all of this stuff inside of you that is not healthy. It can actually cause your body to get sick. So we need to let it go. Let it go.
Is like an unforgiveness. What is that saying? It's like a poison that we drink and then we expect it to kill the other person.
Right, and that's not what happens.
Right.
It eats us away, doesn't it?
It sure does.
You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. We're talking to Melody Rossi. Before Cloud and Fire, you were an opera singer.
I was.
How in the world did you go from opera stage to the hood?
Well, I was working in opera for a number of years, and my husband and I decided that it was just time for us to kind of put that into a little bit of a backseat and start a family. We'd been married about 11 years when we made that decision, and like so many couples, we thought we were going to snap our fingers and we'd be pregnant, and it just turned out that we had a lot of trouble with that. I had endometriosis, and I didn't know it until we decided to start our family, and so pretty soon we noticed that a couple of years had gone by and we started trying to get medical help, and I was singing still, but not very much. You know, we were getting our house ready and, you know, doing a nursery, and we'd moved and all kinds of things like that, and we were just ready, you know. And in this struggle, it turned out I needed to have a couple of surgeries. And in the second surgery, a surgical error was made, and my small intestine was nicked, and that wasn't caught. If that had been caught right away, it wouldn't have been a big issue. But it wasn't caught, and 5 days went by, and everything from inside that intestine just was spilling into my body cavity. Mm. And I was literally dying of peritonitis. Mm. I was in the hospital. No one could figure out what was wrong with me. And by the time they discovered what the problem was, the surgeon said to my husband, "I don't think she's going to make it." It was a few days before Christmas, and I turned out to have one medical complication after another. And so I became very, very toxic in my system, even though they were able to repair my nicked intestine. There was just a lot of infections and drug reactions and complications galore. So I ended up spending a whole year in bed.
Mm.
And Sue, during that year, let me say first, I was a Christian, but I was working in a really secular industry, an industry that was hostile towards my faith. And I had started what we used to sing about in Sunday school. I was hiding my light under a bushel. Remember that old song?
Yes,
I'm going to let
yes.
my light shine. And I was not letting my light shine. And when we do that, I think the light starts to dim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't live in that state. And so I had let my faith really take a back seat. So here I was. I'd almost died. And honestly, I said, you know, I would have squeaked into heaven, but I would have had nothing to show for my life. And it's not that God asks us to heap up good works so that we can get into his kingdom, but I think that when all is said and done, we want to feel as though our life mattered.
Exactly. That is so true.
Yeah, and I realized that it didn't. All I've been doing is trying to scrape my way up to the next tier in my field. And it really just made me feel so empty about everything I'd accomplished, everything I'd cared about. And so as I was in bed recovering and getting well, I was diving deeper into the scriptures and really counting what the meaning of life was. And as I got better, I didn't feel like I was quite well enough to go into that very competitive field. And I started looking for other options, and I'd always kept a substitute teaching credential valid. And so I thought, well, I'll just substitute teach for a while till I get my bearings. And I had begun to pray, "Lord, I don't really know what my life is all about anymore, but if you will just lead me one day's journey at a time, if you will just lead me today and keep me in your perfect will, I'll go wherever you go. I don't even care where it is. If it's to the opera stage, again, fine. And if it's scrubbing toilets somewhere that I've never been, I'll do that. I don't care." And they kept calling me to substitute teach in a really hard community, a community where 76% of kids were dropping out, where kids were in the bottom 2% in nationwide tests academically, and where prostitutes and gangsters were walking up and down across the streets just looking for kids to come along, you know, that would buy their wares. And I'd never been in a place like that. It wasn't very far from where I lived. I was living in Woodland Hills, and I was driving to this little community at Plummer and Sepulveda and in the San Fernando Valley, and it was like a world away from my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I started teaching there, and pretty soon, you know, I kept getting requested at that school, and I was thinking maybe I was going to go back to my singing, but God every day was opening a new door at this school. And finally, I was asked by the principal if I would consider taking a contract there. And I had asked God, I had said to God, "Wherever you lead me, I'll go there. I don't care. There's no pride involved. There's no ego here. I'll just go where you say, and I'll serve there." So after praying about that, I decided to take the contract. And I was teaching in a special ed classroom at that school. It was a middle school. And one day I looked out over the classroom, Sue, and I just felt like God said to me, "Melody, you are not going to ever have children of your own. I'm going to give you spiritual babies."
Aww.
And I realized that those kids out in that classroom were my kids. those were my kids. I wasn't supposed to adopt. I wasn't supposed to try anymore to have my own child. I was supposed to work with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out I only stayed in that classroom about 3 years, and God moved my heart on. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense because you told me those are my kids. And he said, just trust me. Just go one day's journey at a time. And I got this idea, maybe I could start an after-school club. And I went and talked to a pastor in that community and said, I'd like to help the kids in this community. He didn't know me. He hadn't met me. But he listened to my heart. He was a Hispanic pastor, Pastor Mejia. He's a missionary to this country from Costa Rica. And he literally handed me the keys to his church and said, if you want to do something for the kids, if you want to build the kingdom of God, I'll be behind you. And that was 12 years ago.
Wow. Amazing story. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to Melody Rossi. And she's the head, I don't know, what do you call yourself? You are
the founder and executive director.
Your mother of the hood?
Mother of the hood.
Yes, 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 of Cloud and Fire. And we've known each other, I don't know how long. It seems like a lot longer because whenever you have a connection with somebody, it seems like time can pass and you can just pick up where you left off. And you just feel like you know that person because, I don't know, there's just this connection that happens. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
It sure is.
And there's a lesson, I think, in all of this. You know, there's things that I pull out of stories. And one of them is that, you know, bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. And when those bad things happen, those good people have a choice on how they're going to look at it, how they're going to deal with it, their attitude on it. And you know, the Lord wants us to look up. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to trust Him. And you've said over and over again that you would talk to the Lord, you would pray with the Lord, and you would say, I'll go wherever you lead. You know, I'll go wherever you lead. Just lead me. And it's so wonderful to hear that. And when people, I don't know, do you ever get around people, Melody, that they're a victim and just woe is me?
Well, I think our culture teaches that, doesn't it? You know, stand up for our rights and complain when things aren't going well. And I think, first of all, I think I've done that in the past. And I think we've all encountered people like that. And I believe that when I was in that place where a doctor's mistake had nearly taken my life, and it had guaranteed that I would never have a child because of the infection that I had was so severe. That's when I really had, like you read in that devotional, Sue, I had the right at that point,
yes,
to really become a victim.
Uh-huh.
But it's in giving that over to God, to surrendering it, that He does a miracle in us. And I believe that everyone who is ever used mightily of God has experienced crushing, pulverizing blows in their life. And that's when we have that crossroads to choose to become a victim or choose to let His glory shine through us.
Right. Amen for that. And it's true. And then we have a choice on what we're going to do with that. You know, whatever the issue has been, you know, we have a choice on, you know, utilizing that for God's glory, you know, in all things. So I guess what I'm trying to say to listeners out there is that you do have a choice on how you respond to what's happening to you right now. And times can be really, really tough, but you have a choice on how you're going to deal with it. And I'm saying that you need to hand it over to God. What do you think?
Sue, you know, I think you are so right on that, and that we think that the worst things that happen to us are the end of the road, or that we're out of God's will. And yet, I think sometimes if something goes wrong, it's because God is.
Melody, hang on. I'm sorry. I have to hang on for a second. Okay, we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
Stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E. coli gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new E. coli heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E. coli termite and pest control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call E. coli at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Melody, we're back. I'm sorry I had to cut you off there.
Oh,
so
that's okay.
Can you pick up where we left off? This is Melody Rossi with Cloud and Fire. And I'm syndicated now, Melody. Can you believe that? And I have a station in San Diego, and I have a station in Santa Maria. And so I have to be on a quick and clean time schedule. So for that, I'm grateful, but keeps me on the spot here.
Well, you just let me know when we have to stop, and I'll stop. I can stop on a dime.
Okay. So where you were was a really good point, so I'm hoping you can pick us up right where we left off.
Well, I think that God, you know, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. But we sometimes forget that the prophet Jeremiah spoke those words to Israel when they were at one of the worst places in their history. They were about to be in terrible captivity, and that wasn't going to be turning around. They were in captivity for a long time. And so a lot of times we think everything's got to be going well for us to be in the center of God's will. But even Jesus, even what he came to do, it looked catastrophic to the disciples. When he died on the cross, they thought everything was over. And yet that was the beginning of God's most magnificent plan coming to fruition. And I think it's the same in our lives. You know, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can't bear fruit. And so those crushing blows, those disasters, and like you said, people are going through hard times right now. But what is God birthing in us when those crushing blows come, when that pruning takes place, when that frost seems like it kills the plant? You know, it's just a time for God to prepare the new buds, the new growth to come. And I think you're right that God has just a tremendous opportunity for us in those obstacles and heartaches that we experience.
Something that just came to mind when you were talking, Melody, was that I didn't have a hard time really forgiving people that have injured me or hurt me in my childhood and so on. But what I did have a problem with was forgiving myself for choices that I've made that might have not been the best choices. I'd have a hard time forgiving me. And in that, the devil had a foothold to be able to cause me to feel like I wasn't worthy enough to even look up and ask God to guide me or lead me in anything, because I just felt like I wasn't worthy of his love. And when somebody brought it to my attention, some loving, kind person of God got with me, and that person taught me that he died for me, and if I was the only person on this earth that he died, he sacrificed his only son, and he died for me alone, it kind of took all of that burden and that weight off of me to where I didn't have to live in that anymore. And I think a lot of the children that you're working with have that too. They have those feelings and that hardship that needs to be broke, that yoke needs to be broke. And I think that I've seen it, just the people, when you ask them to give their testimonies, those testimonies are so powerful, and to listen to them and their hearts, and you know that they were really tough, you know, because they had to be tough, but now they're warm and they're genuine and they love the Lord. It's an amazing thing to see that transformation. I have my logo is a butterfly, and butterfly is like the resurrection, and it's new birth. And I see these kids as like the butterfly, you know, they're a caterpillar and then they become a butterfly. And who knows where God's going to lead them and take them, and your work, you know, being faithful and being a good steward and a good servant, you're helping. And we all can do that. It's such a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
It's right. And you're bringing to mind so many things, Sue, but I just have to say this because of what you said about the butterfly and the caterpillar, and that's a wonderful picture. My husband and I today are at a church planting conference up at the Oaks, and we're talking about how in inner city places, God is raising up leaders. And one of the things that I read recently is that church leaders in the inner city don't just drop out of heaven. They climb up out of hell.
Yes.
And that is that picture of that caterpillar, you know, climbing
right.
up on, you know, all kinds of things and being down there where a foot could squash it or a bird could pick it off, you know.
Uh-huh.
And God miraculously does something that's impossible to understand, you know. If you didn't see it, you'd never believe it, that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. And that's what we're seeing in the inner city, too. And some of these young people, it's just breathtaking what's happening with them. And I'm so glad that you talked about the fact that you know, you're a wonderful person, a good friend. I love you, and I admire you. And a lot of people in Southern California hear your voice. And to hear you say that you've had difficulty struggling with guilt, and yet I know young men and young ladies who have done horrible things. Some of the men that we work with who are incarcerated, they I say they're men, but you know, they maybe were arrested when they were 15. Some of them have killed people. We work with the guys who are being tried as adults because the things that they've done are so horrible, and they need to serve some time. They need to come to terms with that, but we need to also give them hope that God can love them
yes.
and forgive them.
Yes,
God can forgive them, and so thank you for bringing up that issue.
Well, I have a friend. He's a dance friend, and I just left a dance competition because I compete, and he actually had told me a story about his life and how he was one way when he was younger, and then he actually had to go to prison, and after that, it's like he found God, and he found this new life, and he made a choice. He made a life choice change to change his life, and now he's living a life that's so much better than it was before. But sometimes we have to reach that point to where there has to be this consequence, or there has to be this thing that happens to where God can shake us and say, look, I'm right here. Just look up.
Yeah, don't you think the Holy Spirit is wooing us? Jesus wants us to come to himself, and I think he does that our whole lives, no matter what. No matter what we've done, he wants to win us. He wants to have us understand his heart of love for us. And whether we do that because our lives have fallen apart, we've lost a job, or we've lost a marriage or a relationship, or we've lost status, or we've lost our health, like happened to me, or because we're in prison, God is still penetrating through all of those circumstances just to win us to him.
That's all he wants.
That's right.
He wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and then to love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, it's amazing. It's like, okay, God, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Well, have time with him. That's what he wants. Just spend time with me. You know, that's what I get through the Bible all the time. It's like, I want you to know me, and I want to know you. I already know you because I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. But I want you to get to know me. And in relationships, isn't that what it's all about? It's spending time with each other. It's getting to know each other. And how do you do that? You communicate. You watch the nonverbals. You spend time together so that you can understand the other person. I had John Townsend on the show, and something he said is that understanding is 50% of resolution. And I thought that was so big. You know, simple words come out of his mouth all the time. It's like nothing for him. For me, I have to think long and hard. But John, if you're listening, I just love you out there. But he's like my mentor. Anyway, he said that one time, and I was like, whoa, that was so good, and it's so true. Because we have to seek to understand. And if both parties, I say this all the time, is that both parties are seeking to understand the other person, it's going to be a great world out there, because we're going to understand. We don't have to agree all the time, but we need to understand the other person's point of view. And there's so many different lives that are out there.
Well, you know, Sue, at Cloud and Fire Ministries, one of the things that we do, and I don't know how we got into this, but it just had to be God leading, because there's no way you could go from the opera stage at the Kennedy Center to the hood and be doing this. But we work with gang warfare. We work with gang members who just hate other people because of where they live. And it comes from a long line of retaliation, crime and shooting and violence and retaliation that just escalates and escalates and escalates. And you can't bring peace unless you do exactly what you said. You understand the other person's point of view. And at some point, there's a commonality that aren't we all people? Aren't we all angry over the same things or suffering over the same things? Or when someone in our life is injured, don't we feel the same way as when someone else from the rival gang is injured? And what we're seeing is God is breaking down some of these barriers so that people can understand the hearts of people that they think they hate. Mm-hmm. I was in a group in a boys' detention center, and we were talking about these things. We talk about forgiveness, and we talk about the code on the streets and how there's just a requirement that you hate your enemy, you know, and that you kill your enemy. And it's pretty scary to some of us to see that, because we don't live that way. But when we can start to understand the other person and see them as a human, or when these guys can do that, it's amazing to sit there with a group, and kids can be from enemy territory. And I saw two boys once stand up and shake hands and say, if we weren't here, if we were out on the street, we'd be enemies, we'd be killing each other, but do you even know why? And neither one of them knew. And they vowed that when they got out, when they were released, they'd put an end to it in their neighborhood if they could.
Wow. That's big.
It's pretty big.
That's really big. In Matthew 6:12, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of your primary motivations, I'm reading this from a book, it says, one of your primary motivations to quickly forgive someone is so that you will also be forgiven from your own sins and not delivered to your torturers as promised in the parable.
That's good.
Yeah, that's very right. Good. So listen, let's just change the subject just a little bit, even though I like where we're going. You and your husband just returned from a trip to Africa.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about that. I was amazed at their stories, because you had just gotten back when we had our convene meeting. You had gotten back, I think you were only back a day?
Maybe a few days. I think we couldn't breathe for the first day. So
yeah, and it's just an amazing experience, because it's so, so, so different than where we live and how we live.
Yeah.
And things that seem big over here, I mean, it's all relative, isn't it?
It is.
It's all relative, because when you started talking about it, I'm like, wow, nothing. I mean, you know, we don't have any problems over here.
Well, we felt that way. We were really not prepared for what we saw and experienced. We went to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that is a place that years ago, you know, 100, 200 years ago, was colonized by Belgium. And first they came in and, you know, they cultivated the land and they took the resources back to Europe. But then the missionaries came. And then in the 60s, all the missionaries were expelled. And it was one of those countries where there was a big civil war, the rebels came in, and there was a lot of concern that there would be an end, an extinction of Christianity. But what happened is when the missionaries were expelled, the church went indigenous, and it started to prosper. And people became very dedicated Christians. And that has been thriving. But just like Satan does whenever anything is going well, there were tribal wars that started to flare up. And a very serious tribal war started 5 years ago. And during that tribal war, 1 million people were killed. Now, some of us have seen that movie Hotel Rwanda. It's the same kind of thing where people were just massacring each other because they were enemy tribes. And my husband and I were at a pastor's conference. There were 1,600 pastors, and most of them had walked or ridden bicycles for a week to get there from all over the country. And first of all, to see that and to see this parking lot of bicycles, it just blew our mind. And 1,600 people crammed into a building, pastors sleeping on the floor just because they wanted to get there. They wanted to learn about how to serve God better. And every single one of these pastors had had people in their families, people in their congregations killed. We met pastors who had had their wives raped in front of them. We had pastors there who had had sons killed. A couple of pastors had been held hostage, and for hours their captors debated whether to kill them by beheading them or shooting them. They finally released them, and they found that their congregation had been murdered. 11 members of one pastor's family had been murdered while he was held hostage. It was unbelievable to see this, and yet those pastors are so filled with hope and the love of God and the things that God is doing. There's in the city where we were, there were 150,000 street children, and the churches are taking these young people in and giving them food and shelter and education and hope, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. The amount of devastation in the city, the whole city destroyed, the region destroyed, hospitals, schools, police stations crumbled from bombs, from war. It was just breathtaking, and yet God is doing such amazing things there. And Sue, I know that I told you in the meeting that we had right after we came, I told you that the thing that my husband and I felt that it just made our skin almost crawl while we were there, as we looked at the effects of this tribal warfare on this city and on this region where we were, we had the sense that if we do not stop gangs in the United States, and especially in Los Angeles, where Cloud and Fire is working in the inner city, if we do not stop it, that is what we have to look forward to.
I got chills just then, because it's a reality. And, so we only have 3 minutes left, Melody, so we've got to, you know, wind this up. But I'm going to ask you, how can people, if they want to get involved with either this ministry or find out more about how they can help in some way, how would they get a hold of you?
Our website is cloudandfire.org, cloudandfire.org, and the word "and" is spelled out. Our phone number is 818-920-0101, and if God puts the inner city on your heart, call us, visit our website, and consider being a prayer partner with us for the inner city. Consider becoming a Cloud and Fire volunteer, where we can put you in touch with young people who are just hungry for God's love, and you can become part of the revolution that God is doing in the lives and the hearts of those young people in our inner city areas.
Well, I was just told I have 7 minutes left, so my clock is wrong. So that's good. We have a little more time. Yay!
Great. I love being ahead rather than behind, don't you?
Oh, my gosh, always. My mother said, if you're not early, you're late. So I let my employees know that, too. You know, I just recently visited the Dream Center. Melody. And the Dream Center, I mean, it is amazing. This young guy, you know, he came in here and the outreaches. I mean, something that is close to me is what you were saying about the United States is that there's so many people in church that they want to go over like you did to Africa and you want to help over there. But I think there's so much need right here in our own backyard, that I would love to see people take care of all of these issues. Here's some of them, some of the outreaches that we have. Adopt a Block, Bus Ministry, His Hands Extended, City Help Chiropractic, Mobile Medical Clinic, Angel Food Ministries. This is food, you know, delivering food to people on Skid Row or just anywhere where people are living on the streets. Under the Bridge, Food Truck, Food Chapel, Food Pantry, Lord's Gym. There's just, I mean, there's a whole bunch. Hope for Homeless Youth, Prostitution Outreach, Prison Visitation, Dream Street Outreach, Foster Care and Orphan Outreach, Parent Project, DC Academy, DC Discipleship, Vocation. I mean, there's just, it goes on and on and on.
That's right. And there's so many needs among the broken people in our inner cities. And every single one of us has something that we can do. And it may be going down and adopting a block or passing out food. But there's something for everybody, even those who can't get down there, because we need prayer partners in all of these ministries. And we just love what Matthew Barnett is doing. And we've actually taken some of our Youth Build students down there to help them with some of their construction projects down there.
That's great.
It's been really a neat experience for all of us.
Yeah, it was really wonderful going down and just experiencing that whole thing. And she... We heard testimonies from different people, and I kept tearing up. And these people are so genuine and just saying that, you know, their life would be nothing. It would not be what it is today if it wasn't for the Dream Center.
And you know, Sue, I want to say something about that. You know, what you experience going down there is so powerful. And I think a lot of times we forget that when the power of God really shows up in our lives is when we're pouring out to people like widows and orphans, the poor. That's what true religion is all about. That's what the Bible teaches us. And we need them and they need us. We need to serve people like that, because if we don't, we don't have power in our faith walk.
That's true. You know, and what I said before is, you know, God gives us two main commandments. One is love thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. And the second one is love thy neighbor as thyself. And who is our neighbor? It's all these ministries. It's and you know, we can bite off more than we can chew. Those that are busy get busier. Or we could sit and woe is me.
That's right.
And I'm going to ask everybody to please get off of your bottom and do something productive.
Amen.
Because you know what? When we're depressed, when people are depressed, I know even me, I get down sometimes. And nothing happens without motion. I'm a dancer. But I truly feel that this is just, it's a life principle, is that you've got to take the first step. You've got to take that first breath. You've got to have motion. Nothing happens without motion. Mm-hmm. So get up. Get up and do something.
I really want to say this, because I know that there's probably some woman out there who has struggled with infertility, which is what I struggled with, and not only just infertility, but, you know, then having a near fatal incident that practically took my life and guaranteed I wouldn't have kids. And it was a counselor. I was grieving the process, the fact that I couldn't become a mother. And a counselor said, so take your desire to nurture and find a kid who needs that. And those were powerful words. I was so broken, and I could have focused on that, but instead I took what little I had and just turned it so that it could help somebody else. And I think that is so freeing from all of those things that we feel.
I heard somebody say, you know, I what came to mind is cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot give without feeling good. And it feels better to give than to receive.
It does.
It really does.
It's healing.
So when someone's down, those listening, if you're down, I'm going to give you a prescription. The prescription is to find something that you can do for somebody else. Find something. It could be as simple as a hug. It could be as simple as a phone call. It could be as simple as saying thank you. But do something positive. Take action. Motion. Do something that's going to get you out of the bed, off the couch, and do something positive that's going to make a difference. Something you said early on is that you realized at the end of your life, at the end of this medical issue, that you felt like your life was not over and you didn't want it to be over because you didn't feel you had accomplished something grand. You didn't do anything yet. You didn't feel like you had accomplished the goal.
That's right.
And all of us could feel that way. And it's too bad that a lot of people, it gets to that life experience that causes us to get there.
Well,
wouldn't it be nice
so
to get there sooner?
When we can trade in our goals and let God give us His.
That's very good words there. That's very good words. So get off the couch. Do something for somebody today, right here, right now. Melody, I just thank you and I love you so much as a sister in Christ. I love you so much for what you do for me.
Too.
No, I'm going to cry. Anyway, so it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much. And until next Saturday, God bless and get off that couch. Do something for someone else. Love you. Bye.
You're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.